free audio post-production by Alphonic.com.
Last week we dealt with the hard truth, which where I spoke about sex and that side of marriage. And this morning, so the title is The Naked Truth, and it's not about sex. It's not about that. It is about conflict and communication. That is what I am speaking about this morning. And I've rightly titled it The Naked Truth, because when we are in conflict, we are exposing our true selves. What is in is busy coming out for your partner, for your husband or your wife to see what is inside. That is why I felt The Naked Truth, speaking about that. And this morning, that's what I want to speak about. That there's this one guy that said to his friend one day that, you know, my wife and I, we found the best way to deal with conflict, and it works every time. The friend's like, oh, well, you have to tell me this good news. What is it? Friend said, it's very easy. I just let my wife have the last word. The problem is, the last word is, and another thing. That's a joke. There's going to be one onto the other side this morning as well, because conflict, it is interesting. Maybe the way we see conflict is in the negative, but maybe conflict can also be good. But we need to get to a place where we can have conflict, where it's not conflict, it's just a disagreement, and we are working towards a place of reconciliation. And now I've been married for almost 8 years to my amazing wife that is sitting there in all the glowingness of being pregnant. It has been amazing, but it's not always been amazing. We had some difficult times in conflict, especially in the first year or two of marriage, where we did not know how to communicate, how to deal with to conflict. But what I've learned through this is to know that it's okay being wrong. It's okay to not win the argument. It is okay to grow and to understand that maybe as an individual, I'm not where I want to be yet, and that my wife is also not where she wants to be yet, because me, a fallen man, married my wife, a fallen woman, and now somehow we need to come to a place of letting God deal with that fallenness, so that we do not act out of that fallenness, but that we act out of the love of Christ. And that is a process. That is a process of intentionality. And I had my notes and my Bible, but guess where that is? Not here. So I'm speaking from the heart. But there's four things I want to share with you this morning about how to deal with conflict. And I might not even be speaking about that, but about other fundamental things that if that becomes right in your life, and if the way we see certain things, it will influence the way that we deal with conflict. Because so the question is not if we have conflict, it's when we have conflict. And then all the married people say amen, or not, that's okay. But it's true that it is not if, it's when. Because it does happen. Proverbs 27 verse 17 says, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. This is speaking about relationships, not necessarily romantic. But I find it so applicable when we think about marriage, and that's point number one, that iron sharpens iron. In husband and wife, marriage, it's a covenant, because marriage is a covenant that we make before God, saying that I am going to love you despite your worst, because I'm making that promise before God, because He instituted marriage. And my wife said the same. We have it on recording. There's a photo that captured that moment beautifully. And I'm wearing a signet symbol on my hand that says, we've made that covenant before the Lord. It is something that we are to honor, despite her worst or my worst. But as iron sharpens iron, that I have this thing where we have many knives. And I've not always been the wisest guy. I'll admit that, but God is working in me. And then I would use this knife in the moment when I can cut through meat when I'm busy cooking, and it just like that amazing feeling. It's just like, oh, I will cook every evening if I can just have sharp knives. But after a while, that sharp gets dull. Then what I do is I don't buy a knife sharpener, I buy a different knife. Now we have 6 knives, all of them blunt, and they are useless. Now it's like making food is not as enjoyable anymore, because if I want to cut through the chicken breast, I want it to be a smooth motion, like, shoo, you know, just like, ah. That was me before I got married to my wife. And maybe that's you before you get married, but in that relationship, because there is some things that my wife sees about me that I don't see about myself. Or maybe there are some things in me that I'm fully aware of, but that's not as difficult to live with until you get married and you see someone else suffering because of your selfishness or your poor time management or your lack of sticking to a budget. Then it's in the middle of the month and there's food needed in the house. And I go, well, I bought a PlayStation. Sorry, there's no food in the house. That didn't happen. I'm just saying. I'm just giving examples. Don't always want to speak about my own life. I don't have a... Anyway, I digress. But carrying the point over, but when you come into a marriage covenant, which is the highest form of human relationship, there is bound to be some conflict, because you, a fallen human being with a totally different background, you grew up in a city, in a place, in a culture, and you marry someone that grew up in a different city or the same city, but different to culture, not culture as in ethnicity, but in the household culture that was cultivated in you through your parents and your family and your friends and your school environment that you went to, the music you listen to, the movies you watch. All of that shapes you to be the way you are. And now you marry someone who's also the same, and you find out years later you married a Swiftie while she married someone that likes metal and rap. And that's like, just as an example, that worlds are colliding, and I'm making light with all these examples, but sometimes it's more serious things like, what is our stance on how are we going to raise children? How are we going to use our money? How are we going to do family time? What holiday is going to look like? And there's bound to be conflicting interests. And it might be something small in the beginning, like, I want to go to the ocean. I want to go to the bush. 5 years down the line, there's resentment because we always do what you want to do. And then there's bound to be some things. And as you grow and all these, as these differences collide, iron sharpens iron. And you learn to compromise, but you also learn to deal with your own stuff. And you're praying, you trust God to deal with your wife, because that is one thing that some things will be won in prayer. And only in prayer, because there's some things in your spouse that only God can change. But it's up to us to pray for our spouses so that we can be changed and the other can be changed as well. And that is, as iron sharpens iron, as you grow in these relationships and the rough edges are smoothed out and you start to do life and you realize, oh, wow, this is amazing. I'm busy doing life with my spouse and it just like, just that smooth feeling of that you can... My best feeling is if I cut a tomato and it's like, shh, I can hold it in my hand and cut it like, oh, this is the best feeling. And that is what comes when iron sharpens iron in your relationship with your spouse. It becomes where in the beginning it is rough. Someone that tells me the formative beginning years of the marriage is not difficult, they are lying. We will cast out a spirit of deceit, joking. But the truth is that because of two people coming together and becoming one, there's bound to be some sparks. Someone that tells me it's not that way, maybe we can have a different conversation. But in my experience, and I think the married people, they can agree, the first years, it was a little bit rough. But then the other Proverbs that is on there, it says that he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord, because marriage is awesome. Every marriage person, if your marriage is not where you want it to be yet, just know this, it's never too late to have the marriage you want. It's never too late. Iron's going to show up, iron is going to get better, but we have to come to a point of acknowledging Christ in the center of everything, because without him, change is just superficial. Change is only temporary. The things that get sharpened in me through my relationship with my wife is only temporary if there's no foundation of Christ that forms it. Because only Christ can bring true and lasting change. And he who finds a wife finds a good thing. It is a promise of the Lord. And for those that have children and are going to have children, the thing about marriage is that when there's conflict, you can try your best to hide it from your kids. You are only fooling yourself, because they see, they observe, they feel it, so they hear it sometime, and then Nathan, why are you and mommy speaking a little louder? And like, okay, now I have to explain that to him and say, well, sometimes, you know, when we are upset with you, we speak a little louder and then you get better. Okay. Sometimes I do things that mommy does not like, and then mommy has to reprimand me, and sometimes vice versa. But the important thing is not, it is the way you make up, is that your children need to see you reconcile. They need to see you master your emotions. They need to see you wrestle through the difficulties of having conflict and then coming together and resolving that, because that models to them something that is real and authentic, because you're not lying to your kids. Because here's the thing, we expect sometimes of our children things that we cannot do ourselves. It's like, don't cry now. Regulate your emotions. But we, as adults, we cannot do that. By the grace and the help of God, we can do that and we can overcome. But when there's conflict and differences in front of kids, there has to be reconciliation. We have to model to them what is going on. Gee, must sound terrible in our house. second one, please. So the first point is, iron sharpens iron. There's bound to be conflict, but it's how that is handled. And we'll speak on that as well. But one thing that I've found helps so much is Jesus' words in Matthew 5:37 that says, let what you say simply be yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. Now, I'm not saying answer your spouse yes or no. That will start a fight. That is not enough information to go off. Another translation is saying, let your yes be yes and let your no be no. It means that say what you mean and mean what you say. And I think if you've been in conflict, you've reached a place in that conversation where maybe you have said something that you don't mean, and you see the other person get hurt by what you're saying, because you're a fallen human being speaking to another fallen human being. Sometimes there's a lapse of judgment and something that you don't mean comes out. What do you do with this? In the formative years of our marriage, I just like, well, I said what I said. Now I have to stick with it. I'm not going to back down. I'm not going to humiliate myself. I'm no quitter. I'm going to stick this fight through. And it just ends in disaster. We have learned to say the following words. I'm sorry I've said that. I don't mean it. I take it back. And then my wife goes, or I go and say, okay, it's fine. Let's move on. Because in the heat of the moment, maybe you say something you don't mean, or it just comes off across that we need to afford the grace to say, I will pardon what you said because I know you didn't mean it. And then giving that and also receiving that, because that will save you a lot of things, knowing that, oops, I'm sorry what I said, I didn't mean it, can I take it back? When it comes to let your yes be yes and your no be no, say what you mean and mean what you say, because it's so difficult to master that in the heat of the moment. In the off seasons, when there's no fighting going on and you are happy and lovely and life is wonderful and all the butterflies and romance is there, that's where you work on communication. You won't master being better at communication while you're busy fighting. Do it when you're not fighting. Learn the habits of, I think I misunderstood you. Can you just clarify what you said? Or what I do, I'm still being refinanced. I say, that doesn't make sense. And then my wife explains to me, oh, okay, that makes sense. So we are learning, we are growing to a point of saying that, what did you just say? Can you just clarify for me? Because I don't want to take offense in something she didn't mean. Because that is something that gets in marriages, is that the enemy is just waiting. When can he insert offense? That maybe my wife has a busy day at work and then she doesn't text me and I'm like, oh, what's going on with her? Doesn't really a thing in us. But then I would hear from her hours later, oh, I thought I replied. I'm like, yeah, okay, busy day. But when we get home at the end of the day, there's a connection. But learn to ask this. Am I hearing you correctly? Is this what you are saying? Because this is what I'm hearing. Sometimes you learn that late in the fight, like, wait a minute, we've been fighting this whole time about nothing? Oh, wow, okay, geez. We will also deal with that later. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Know that sometimes your wife will say things she doesn't mean in the heat of the moment, and you will do the same, and learn to afford the grace to the other person to give them a second chance. That, or maybe if they don't come out of their own and say, oops, I said something, you can be the one that says, I think what you said now is very wrong. Do you want to take it back? Oh, yes, yes, I want to take it back. That's not where we want to go with this conversation. But it helps to learn these habits of to communication when things are going good. Plan dates, go on coffee dates, go play putt-putt, go just get out of the house. Sometimes the best medicine is just to get out of the house a little bit and go do something. And that is where you work on communication, just speaking. Then we go to 1 Corinthians 13. And I just want to give some to context in that. So the first one is iron sharpens iron. There's going to be conflict. Learn to deal with it in a godly way, that God sorts out what is in you so that you can have better conflict. Number two is let your yes be yes and your no be no. Say what you mean and mean what you say. Ask for grace when you say something you don't mean, and give it when the other person says what they don't mean. The third one is live out love. Live out love. And 1 Corinthians 13, it's not speaking about eros love, the love between man and wife. It is speaking about agape love, the brotherly love that we have for one another. But this is why I want to speak on this in a marriage context, is because sometimes we can do this for everyone else except our spouse. We can love others, we can have patience with others, but when it comes to our own spouses, we find it difficult to apply the same grace. And this is what he is saying, Paul is saying in his writing from 1 Corinthians 13 verse 4, and he says, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not it's not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. That when you come as a believer into a loving relationship with God, and you've encountered the love of God, there is bound to be change in you. And when you encounter that change, when you encounter the love of Christ, it comes over, it spills over. And it is only from that place of relationship with Christ, having the Holy Spirit, that we can come to a place of being patient and kind, not envying, not being boastful, not being arrogant or rude, not to be resentful, and not to rejoice in wrongdoing, but that we can rejoice of the truth and the truth exceeding, so that we can bear all things, believe all things, hope all things, and endure all things. Maybe there's a place in your marriage where something has happened. It doesn't always have to be hardcore stuff. It can be waking up in the first year of marriage on women's morning and going about it as any normal day, where the culture my wife grew up in was women's day was a big thing in the house, that her dad woke up early to make breakfast, which was not even done on birthdays, just women's day. That's how big of a deal it was in her culture, in the way she grew up. So here I am. I remember we were having a nice bed in the living room. We were watching movies the night before. And here my wife's waking up and I sense a storm in the house. Like, cupboards are closing a little bit harder than normal. Not smashing. She doesn't do that. But there's just ruckus. And I'm like, what on earth is going on? I see it's 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. We didn't have kids then. Sleeping late was norm. And it's like, what is going on? Like, hours later, I realized Women's Day is a big thing. And like, okay, iron sharpens iron. Let me make a mental note. Women's mourning for my wife and the way she grew up, it's a thing. And don't make the joke, congratulations, you're a woman. That also doesn't work. Don't say that. That is not good advice. But yeah, we were just kids when we once met. Anyway, a lot has happened, but I'm just saying that back to loving, that when we live out love, it comes from a place of knowing that you are loved by Christ, knowing that he died for you, that he took all your wrongdoing on himself. And because he took all of my wrongdoing on himself and I stand forgiven, I need to know that he did the same for my wife. He also died for her sins. She is also forgiven before God. And if I'm forgiven before God, who am I to have unforgiveness towards my wife? No matter what she did, no matter what I did, God forgave me through Christ who died for me. And therefore, I can have a clean slate and say, I cannot hold things against my wife. Now, I must caveat the following, that I'm not speaking about marriages where there's rampant abuse and infidelity. I'm not speaking about that this morning. If that is a situation or something, please seek help. Please speak to someone that you can get professional marriage help. I'm speaking about marriages where that's not the case. And I'm giving advice in not situations where that is the case. If there's abuse, if there's sexual infidelity, speak and get help. I'm not encouraging anything in that space. That's why I'm just saying now, I'm not speaking about that. If that is a situation you know someone is in, guide them to help, not this sermon. This is for us who are seeking Christ. And if you find it in yourself to forgive your spouse, even if there's infidelity, then this is also for you. Anyway, moving back. Therefore, I cannot hold anything against my wife, no matter how painful, no matter how hurtful it is. I cannot hold it against her because God didn't hold anything against me. Therefore, I can live out in love. I'm just using my wife as an example. She's sitting there. I'm not saying she's done anything. Just saying. Love is patient and kind. That it's sometimes easy to be patient with people you don't know that well. But when it comes to your spouse, it's sometimes more difficult. The fuse is a little bit shorter. And this is a reminder that there's a clean slate in Christ. There's a clean slate to go and consider, Lord, help me have patience for my spouse. Lord, help me be redefined so that I can be kind and patient. No matter the circumstance, and this will lead into the next, where it will make more sense that I live out these things that I can do that I can love my wife better than I love someone I don't know. Because sometimes it's the other way around, that we can give everything to someone we don't know because there's no history. But when it comes to someone where there's history, we want to put in, that person hurt me and that person did that. Let's put boundaries. Boundaries is good. But I'm giving encouragement this morning in your marriage to come to a place to live love out. It does not envy. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. And Lord, there's sanctification needed there, because sometimes we want to do our own way. And so many times when I'm angry and I go to God and I pray, and Lord, I'm just so angry, and says, yeah, well, die to self. And I'm like, this is the last thing I want to hear. But okay, Lord, let me die to myself. What do you want me to do? go apologize. Okay, God, I'm so sorry. Let's do it this way. It is about living and relationship with God, where He is the one that convicts you when you are wrong, so that you come in a place of God is leading you in your marriage. Because marriage is your first ministry. Your house is your first church that you're pastoring, but we'll get to that now. It is not irritable or resentful. I hear no giggles or anything, so I'm sure you guys are doing well in that space. Don't rejoice when your wife fails or when your husband fails. That's just not good. That is, there's no better way to say we are not on the same team than when the one fails and the other one rejoices in the other person's failings. You are on the same team. You are your wife's number one supporter, and your wife is your number one supporter. When you fail, she fails. When you win, she wins. When she wins, you win. When she fails, you fail. We don't resent in the other's failures. Oh, yeah, I told you. I told you so. Let that not be a thing that we say, is that, yeah, I told you that was going to happen. No, I'm sorry that happened. I'm sorry that happened. Not I told you so. And love bears all things, believe all things, hope all things, and endures all things. Give your wife the grace. Give your husband the grace you would want them to give you. When we come to the gospel, every religion has the golden rule. But the difference in Jesus' words is that all the other religions just say, don't do what you don't want to be done. It means there's no action required from your side. That's basically what it comes down to. Just don't do to them. But Jesus is saying, do to them what you want them to do to you. It means love them the way you would want them to love you. Forgive them the way you want them to forgive you. Give them the patience you want them to give to you. It's not about don't hate if you want that. No, it's do. It's a command to do what you want to be done. It's so much more heavy than all the others, because it gives us the command to be proactive in living out our faith. So number one, iron sharpens iron. Number two, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Say what you mean and mean what you say. Number three, live love out to your spouse the same way you would do to anyone else. Let there be a clean slate. Let there be new grace. Give to them what you want them to give to you, even if they never do it. Wake up every morning, 5 o'clock, make coffee, even if your wife never makes you coffee, and don't complain about it. Just love her through making coffee. Yes, I sometimes say, just make me coffee once, but it's okay. I make the coffee. I'm fine with that. I've learned to live with that because it blesses my wife. And even now I steam the milk and I like really live it out. Like, oh, I'm just, my wife's going to enjoy this coffee. When she doesn't drink it, I'm like, Lord, help me. Let me not be angry. Just leave it there and then go on. Anyway, then we get to 1 Timothy 3, which says family first, because your family is your first ministry. Your family is your first church. Sometimes when you speak to people in ministry, you quickly realize that it's church first, then family. And for the first years of ministry, I must confess that was me. It was church, then family. Saturdays were for sermon prep and getting things done that I week, which means Saturdays, my family got the second best of me. And I realized a few years ago that this is not healthy. This is not the way. If I want to succeed in the calling that God has given me in my marriage first, because I said yes to God way before I was called into ministry. I said yes to my wife before we had children, that it's first my wife, then to the kids. Sometimes you find marriages where everything revolves around to the kids, and then the moment they leave the nest, the marriage falls apart. It's first built on the husband and wife. So that's my first That's my first. Yeah, that's the way we build. Family, children complete that. You need three people to have a community. So once one child comes, there's a community in the house. Now we're a community, but mom and dad, we make the rules. Nathan yesterday, he wanted to watch something like, I'm going to watch Formula One qualifying. And he said, no, but I want to watch TV. I said, well, it's my TV. No, it's not. It's our TV. Like, oh, okay. Well, I'm using it now. It's mine. That offended him. It's just interesting how to see that little mind work. Just the joy. Anyway, where was I? Family first. Because you said yes before God that I'm going to pursue this woman. I'm making a covenant that yes to her and no to everyone else. And that's where the focus is. And Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy 3 verse 1. And he's speaking to overseers, but to the church. But I think we can draw from that into our lives in knowing this, in saying that the saying is to trustworthy. If anyone aspires to be to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectful, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent but gentle, not to quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well. Must manage his own household well. And this is speaking to overseers, but it applies to Christians as well, saying that I need to get my house in order to honor and glorify God. And then he goes on and says, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive, teach them right from wrong and wrong from right. Teach them the way of Christ. Have conversations that a four-year-old gets to a place and wanting to understand how does the Trinity work? Who made Jesus? And use those opportunities to instill Christian values while they are still young, because it's going to be a time when the world will fill them, but then they're already filled with Christ. It's never too late. He's saying, for if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? He must not be a recent convert or may become puffed up with conceit and fall into condemnation of the devil. But this is verse 5. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for the church? Family is the first church. Family is the first ministry that you were called to. We are called into marriage by God. In Genesis, we see that. Because that's why God created male and female, so that they can marry. Interesting, Vian told me she was at that conference that was only for women. But there's going to be one in August for everyone. Anyway. Saying that the only part of a human being that's not complete is their reproductive system. That's why male and female need one another. And that's how they complete one another. In the area of sexuality is where they complete one another. I'm adding that in my own paraphrase, because that's what it comes down to, that if you can live out your relationship with Christ in your family, then that is just like everything. It's just like, oh, Lord, marriage is your first ministry. We are called into marriage by God in Genesis 1 and 2. And we have an obligation and a responsibility to build that marriage to be a place that is beautiful, God-loving, Christ-centered. It's not always easy. I know that some are in different situations and different seasons, but the responsibility is still to go to God and say, Lord, what is your plan? What is your purpose? What must I do? What must I say? What must be done that this can glorify you? Maybe it is now where it should be, and that is amazing. But if it's not there yet, it's never too late to start. It's never too late to have difficult conversations and trust God for the outcome. Because we have had difficult conversations, we trusted God for the outcome. And man, I thank God for that godly conviction that He put in my heart to say, do that. speak about that. And even when I'm a little bit upset, because we get upset with our spouses, but instead of running to any place else, I go, Lord, there's conflict. I don't like it. What should I do? Sometimes it's immediate. Sometimes it takes an hour or a day. But eventually there's a moment where I calm myself down and say, okay, I'm living in sin with this rebellion in my heart. Lord, what should I do? Die to self. Okay, Lord, let me die to myself and honor you, because marriage is a ministry. Marriage is a calling. And God gives us the guidelines in how we navigate that to be something that glorifies God. That ministry success means absolutely nothing if my wife hates God because of the way I treat her. And it's always painful to see ministers fall in the area of their marriage. And I'm like, Lord, please let not that be me. Please, Lord. The fear of the Lord comes into me when I hear that. I'm like, if it can happen to them, it can happen to me. Lord, please help me that don't happen. Family first. Okay, Lord. Saturday's family day. We just do family stuff. Even if there's ministry happening on a Saturday and things like that, the moment that is done is family. Until we have an evening service, Sundays after church, also family. But if there's an evening service, family, church, you know, which is awesome. But these are four things that has helped me to become a better son of God, to grow in a more loving relationship with God first. And the outflow of that is me being in a marriage where my wife likes me, where my wife wants to spend time with me, where my wife misses me when we don't see one another. And that is like, that to me feels like winning. That to me feels like, Lord, thank you. I am so blessed. I am so content. And now we have another one on the way. And like, Lord, I don't even know what that's going to look like. But when Nathan was on the way, there was fear because how are we going to? Now it's like, oh, I don't know what it's going to look like, but it's going to be amazing because I get to do it with her. And that is the goal in marriage, is that at the end of this journey, at the end of this life, I want to sit next to her on a rocking chair when we can't hear one another or partially see one another, and just know that we've been faithful to one another and we've completed the calling that God has given us for the church. That's my desire. That is what I want. Maybe it's something different for you, but let God be the one that grows you and directs you in what does he want for your marriage? What do you want for your marriage? Because it's never too late. So number one, iron sharpens iron. Conflict's going to come, but good conflict blesses. Bad conflict destroys. Learn to do good conflict so that it is actually iron that sharpens iron, because there's some ways that you can sharpen a knife that actually damage it. And that's when you take another iron and you bash it on the other one. It might be sharp in some places, but it's definitely not going to be sharp and smooth all over. It gets those rough edges, then it just like doesn't cut through. Iron sharpens iron. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Learn to say what you mean and mean what you say. Number three, live love out towards your spouse. Pursue her. Pursue him. Find ways to, like making coffee, frothing milk. Find those things that you can do for your spouse. They're just like, oh, this is nice. And number four, marriage is a ministry that you are called to. Trust God for that. Let him lead you. Because sometimes what is inside of us, that is the thing that I wanted to get to, is that when we don't have a relationship with Christ, any change is only temporary until the storm hits. But with Christ, change is lasting. There can be lapses. But we hold on to Christ and let him guide us, because what is inside, if there's anger inside, it's gonna spill over when there's conflict. But if there's love and the heart of Christ formed in you, that will spill out when there's conflict. Doesn't mean that there's going to be times where it's going to be difficult and you're going to say things and you're going to really wrestle through things. But it means that when you are with Christ and he's formed in you, he will come out when the boat is rocked. you will turn towards Christ and saying, we just had a terrible fight. Lord, what do we do? Rather than saying, let's open the wine bottle. Or let me just leave the house and go somewhere else. Let me stick this through. Let me remain. Let us wrestle through this. And God, show me your way. What must I do? Die to self. Okay, Lord. Say sorry. No, I don't want to. Well, okay. You cannot say sorry, but God knows best. So he advises to say sorry. You listen. May that eventually not be that far apart. Let it be immediate. But if you're not there yet, have some grace for yourself. Enjoy life. Enjoy marriage. Because God has given it to us and say, I bless you with this. And man, it is a blessing. So let me pray for you. Father, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that you will come and speak to us this morning. That you come and stir in our hearts. In Jesus' mighty name. Lord, and I just want to pray for every marriage in this church. And I pray a blessing over it. Lord, I thank you for your grace and your mercy, that every day is a new day and that you are still busy making us new. You're still busy with us. You are the author and the perfecter of our faith, and I pray that you will perfect that in us, that you will grow us to have strong marriages. And where the enemy wants to creep in, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus, and I bring every marriage before you, and I pray, Lord, show them your way, show them your will, show them your plan. In a world that has forsaken the marital system, may those who are married send a light into the darkness to show Christ and the hope for the world that all is not lost, that God is still living and active. He still has great plans. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen and amen. For the unmarried folk, I hope this spoke to you as well. Amen. And amen. If you need prayer, if you need a word from God, welcome to come forward. Just bless you. I bless you in the mighty name of Jesus. May it go well with your soul. May it go well with your health. And may there be opportunities for growth this week. Amen. Amen. Be blessed.
Free audio post-production by alphonic.com.